John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Shall not be silenced." Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share with what I believe you've placed on my heart, a deep and very important truth for each one of us to understand and to defend. I pray, God, that it will glorify you ultimately, Lord, that it'll be done in a way that brings honor to you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to bring this message, and I would definitely very, very much in light of Veterans Day and make the connection of why I believe this is so important and honor those men and women who have served. To be a veteran, you have veterans are men and women who have, by their very action, said that the values of this nation and the principles that it's founded on are worth serving. In fact, even if they need to lay down their lives for these principles, they're willing to defend and preserve these principles. No matter what it takes, we are willing to make the sacrifice. That's why we are, in fact, veterans and those who have gone and done this. And you take that oath. In fact, it's frustrating to me to see that not only our law enforcement, but our elected officials, government officials, they take an oath too, to protect and preserve, to defend and preserve the Constitution of the United States. And yet we see all kinds of things that are going on that are clearly not constitutional. And the most foundational or the most bedrock principle of our foundation, of our Constitution, is the First Amendment. That's why it's first. If you want to know what's most important, our founders believed was the First Amendment. That's why they put it first. And everything is built upon these principles. All the rest of our Constitution, all the rest of our governance is built upon the principles of the First Amendment. Let me read it to you. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibit the free exercise thereof, or the abridging of speech, or the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances." So why did the founders establish these rights as the first and therefore the most important, the most bedrock foundation or principles of our nation? And it's because freedom is the most important aspect of our lives as human. To be free. To be free because God has created us as unique individuals. And it is our freedom that allows us to express ourselves as those individuals that God has created us to be. Freedom, God established as a primary principle, I believe, clear back in the Garden of Eden, because freedom is necessary for love to take place. We've talked about this before. God is love. That's great. God has to create us so he has someone to love, but he wants us to have the freedom to reciprocate love. We look at the Garden of Eden, we know how things went wrong there, how God made man, Adam and Eve, and they had this great relationship with him, and he gave them the freedom to choose to disobey him. And how much better off the world would be if Adam and Eve would have never had that freedom to disobey him. Wouldn't it be great? No sin, no sorrow, no turmoil, no heartache, no sickness, no disease. None of that we experience sometimes on a very regular basis. None of that would exist. Wouldn't it have been so much better if we wouldn't have had the freedom to disobey God? And the answer is no. Because God, above all else, wants to have a loving relationship with him. And without freedom, there is no love. If I don't have a choice to not love, then I don't have a choice to love, and there is no such thing as love. So the ideas of God creating us free and giving us free moral will goes hand in hand with the idea of God wants a loving relationship with us. So in order to have that loving relationship, God made us free people. And that's why it is absolutely critical that we be free as individuals. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40 says, "One of them, an expert of the law, from the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.' This is the greatest, the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we know that love is the greatest commandment. Loving God and loving one another. But love can't be possible unless we are free. Has anybody ever forced you to love them? Has anybody ever tried to force you to love them? If they did, you wouldn't love them, right? Because we do not respond to force. God created us and gave us free will. We have a very natural, God-instilled repulsion to anything that wants to force us to do something. That's how God created man. It is a part of our being. But God says the greatest thing you can do is to love him and love others. So how do we do that? God said, in order for you to do that, in order for you to fulfill the first and most greatest commandment, I must make you free. That's why freedom is so important to us. Only freedom makes love possible. We discussed this last week in our discussion of covenant, the last several weeks. The law, the old covenant, did not make us free. It made us slaves. It made us slaves to sin. We did not have an option. You had to obey it. We needed to be free from the old covenant. So what did God do? He sent Jesus and gave us the option to love him. And by doing so, set us free from the slavery of the law. This is God's principle. This is God's plan. He wants us to be free. He taught us what sin was through the old covenant, but it made us a slave to that sin. Nobody wants to be a slave. So what did he do? He said, now that you understand what sin is, now I'm going to free you up from that slavery. I'm going to allow you to have a relationship with me and be saved through a loving relationship of your choice with Jesus Christ. And so we have the new covenant. And we see in Galatians 5:1, one of my favorites, that he set us free so that we could be what? Free. It says, God set us free so that we could be free. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what Galatians 5:1 says. Freedom is of the utmost importance. In order to fully understand this, we must understand that freedom from a biblical standpoint. So that's what I want to spend some time here looking at today. Freedom from a biblical standpoint. The world defines freedom. This is the world's definition, not the Bible's. But it defines freedom as the ability to basically do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. The problem with that is what? Are you holy or are you by nature sinful? The answer, folks, is you are, and I am, sinful. So if I have the freedom to do whatever I want, however I want, what's it going to be? It's going to be sinful. It's going to be bad. And sin makes me what? A slave to sin. You say, well, I'm free. I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free. I want to be free to do drugs. I want to be free to use heroin. You become a slave. That's what addiction means. When we do things that bring on this addictive behavior, we need it more and more, we want it more and more. Now I'm no longer free. I'm not free to do that. I have become a slave to it. But that's how the world defines freedom. The Bible, this understanding of freedom is what we need to get and what we need to realize, and we almost never talk about it. When God sets us free, it is for the purpose of not to do whatever we want, whenever we want. It is for the purpose of saying no to our own sinful desires and yes to the life that God has prepared for us. Freedom is freedom from the slavery of sin, freedom from my own selfish physical desires and emotional desires. God gives me the ability to be free from what would naturally come from my fallen state as a human being. Our fallen state, we are slaves to it as humans. God, through Jesus, has given us freedom to say no to that and yes to the good and godly plan he has for us. That's what freedom is. Freedom is being free to do what God wants us and has called us and empowered us to do. So, how does this tie in with the freedom that was enshrined in the First Amendment? We must be free to worship God. That's the first thing it says, right? Our government, Congress, will make no laws regarding our freedom of religion. But yet, I know this is going to, here's where we start getting into trouble. What did the government say in a lot of places? Luckily not here, but in a lot of places, I have to admit, as much as I am happy to live here in this community, during the early days of COVID, I wished I was still pastoring in California. Do you know why? So I could have had church and said, pound sand, we aren't shutting down. And you can do whatever you want, but we aren't shutting down. They want to control, as I've talked about before. Why do they want to control? Because God is government's number one competition. And so they want to control that. And I could get a lot more about all the... We have religion... I won't. We have religious freedom. That is the absolute most important thing. Why? Because we need to be free to follow God's plan for our life, not follow our own or what some other man who has fallen tells us that we are supposed to do. The second thing of why we need to be, that we see in the First Amendment, is freedom of speech. And this is where I really want to end up focusing today, in what it means and tying it to the idea of Veterans Day, the freedom of speech. Look at me with Proverbs 22:1. This isn't going to start off directly talking about speech, but we're going to lead into it. Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." So Proverbs says a good name is more desirable than great riches. Why? When you hear somebody's name, you imagine immediately get a thought of an idea of them as a person, right? You go, oh, I know that person. And characteristics and events and interactions and all these things that go along with that person. When you hear their name, you have a concept of who they are as a person. A good name means that when you hear that person's name, you think well of them because you have seen good things in them. You've had good experiences with them. They have good attributes. Therefore, they have a good name. It's important to have a good name. And a lot of what you think of that person when you hear that name is interactions that you've had with him, things they may have said to you or about you, or ideas that they have expressed when they share about themselves or share about life and those things. And a lot of it is based on what they say. And so freedom of speech becomes critically important. I want to have a good name, and your opinion of me, I mean, since you come here every week and hear me talk, a lot of it's probably based on the words that you hear me say. Your name, this is why, this is the central point of what I want to make today. Why is freedom of speech so absolutely critically necessary? Because your words are you. You and your words are one and the same. Go back to what we read in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know God because we know His Word. We know God because He spoke this world into existence through the power of His Word. This world is what God created it to be because that's what He said it was to be, and how it operates. I express, you express your thoughts, your feelings, your love, your passions, your criticisms, your desires, your aspirations, your dreams, your creativity. All of that is expressed to the world around you. Nobody would know them and therefore know you unless you spoke it in words. Do you get my point? If they can silence your speech, they erase who you are. Your very being, your essence of who you are as a person is erased if they can control and silence your speech. And our founders told us, and I'm saying here today, my speech shall not be silenced. If you look at my Twitter feed, you'll see what I mean. Matthew 12, 33 through 35 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for the tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Your words, the Bible tells us, I'm not making it up. It's not my opinion. I'm not just saying this because I want to make a point. I'm saying what the Bible says. The Bible says, my words reveal who I am. Who you are determines what kind of fruit you produce. So it may be my words, it may be what I produce, but it comes out of who I am. The mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. My heart, the Bible, and we all understand it to mean it is the essence of our being. When we talk about, oh, my heart. We're saying what we really value, what's really important, what our passions really are, the things that burn inside of us, the things that we value, our heart. And out of our heart, our mouth speaks. So if they can silence our speech, they silence who we are. It's critical to understand this. Freedom of speech is so important because my words are me. They are one and the same. Again, my words represent my nature. They represent my character. They represent my thoughts, my principles. They represent my aspirations and my hopes and my dreams. My words demonstrate those things that I love, that are the most important to me. They're the very essence of who I am as a person. Because our words represent us, because our words represent us, and we are, our biblical use of our freedom is to live the life God has prepared for us. To love God, to love our neighbors. I can't love unless I'm free. I have to have freedom. I have to have freedom to be able to express myself and the love that I have for God and my neighbors. How can government silence or want to shut down freedom of religion if God commands me to love him and I have to have my words to express my love to him? I mean, I have my actions as well, but words are another aspect. We come here and we declare the goodness and the glory and the truth of God, and we speak in godly terms to one another to build up the body of Christ. How could I possibly have religion restricted and still obey God to love him and everyone else? We have to have that freedom. Our words are, we're created in the image of God. Amen? That's what we're told. I don't know if I, like I said, I don't know what all. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. I'm going to read this anyways. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creation that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God. And God's image is, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God creates by his words. We see it in the creation narrative. We also create, not in the same way as God. We realize that this world, this material world, was created by the spoken word of God. Now, we don't have that. We're not created like God in that way. We can't speak material things. But our words set the course for our life. Those things that we talk about, those things that we declare, those things that we say, one day I am going to do this, one day I'm going to do that, and we work towards that. We have the ability to speak and to declare things, and then the empowerment to go pursue those things and make them happen. Our words are creative. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. We speak things into life. We speak things out of existence. Are we going to speak things that build up or things that tear down? We are created in the image of God. Our words have creative power behind them. They set the direction and course. They determine those things that are really most important to us. And we communicate those things to the people around us and the world around us. Absolutely, God does not want that speech limited because it is who we are. It is how we create life. It is how we speak life. It is how we speak life into other people's lives and build them up and encourage them and motivate them and share ideas back and forth, things that can be great and productive and helpful and beneficial to many. We speak them through the freedom that we have to speak to one another. Because why? Because God created us with this, in His image, with the ability to create this world as we speak it. Think about it right now. Politicians are out speaking all over the place, saying, this is what I want to do. This is what I am planning on doing. This is what needs to be done. And if they are elected, hopefully, they're going to take those things that they spoke and they're going to implement them and cause them to come to pass. That's the creativity of word. That is the creation of word. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. And God speaks things into existence just like we do. We don't dare have our speech limited. Now, maybe you're wondering why I'm carrying on so much about this. This week, it was, within the last week, maybe a little bit longer than that, it was discovered that the Biden administration has been, and I'm sure still is, colluding with big tech social media. Now, I don't know how many of you in here, probably a lot of you are not on social media. I do a fair amount, because it has become basically the public square. It is where you go to share your ideas. It is the soapbox in the middle of the town square where you go and speak and share your ideas. And the government doesn't like this because not all the ideas that people have agree with them. So it was discovered that places like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube actually created what they would call a portal where the government can just say, hey, we don't like this, what this person's saying about, you know, the economy. We don't like what they're saying about COVID. We don't like what they're saying about the war in Ukraine. Take it down. That's censoring your speech. Because you're sharing your thoughts and your beliefs and your attitudes and the things that you think are most important. You're sharing yourself, like I said. Your words are you. That is not allowed by the First Amendment of the Constitution, the most important thing. And that, why do I tie this to Veterans Day? Because people have given their lives for that. Because we understand it is the most bedrock principle of our nation. I put a lot of important things out there on social media. How many of you heard about, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House? Her husband, Paul Pelosi, was attacked by, we're not sure what the real story is because they control speech, but by this underwear-wearing, hammer-wielding crazy guy, all right? Like, came in his bedroom when he's asleep, like at 2:30 in the morning or whatever. And I tweeted, I said, for heaven's sakes, If anybody is thinking about doing something like this at the Pelosi's, spare yourself. Don't do this. Don't do this harm to yourself. Can you imagine finding Nancy Pelosi at 2:30 in the morning with no hairdo, no makeup, no vodka, no teeth? Oh my gosh, that would be one of the most horrifying sights I could imagine. So I put important stuff like that out on Twitter. But anyways, you know what? I have the freedom to do that. Those are my thoughts. I may not think the same way you do, but those are my thoughts. Those are, that's a lot, those kind of thoughts are a lot about who I am, okay? That's the way I think about things. I like to find a little weird humor and stuff, all right? The government is forbidden by the First Amendment to do what they're doing. And I make a big deal out of it because I will not be erased. And I certainly won't be erased by the people that I am, that are supposed to be serving me. We the people, as I've taught before, we the people are the authority in this nation, not those people sitting in elected office. They work for us. And people believe this strongly enough that they've given their lives for it over the history of this country. And I will not be silenced. If you erase my words, if you try to take away my speech, you've taken away who God created me to be. Because I'm created in His image. And I am created to produce life by my words. I am free so that I can love God and love others. I have to have that freedom or else I cannot carry out God's two greatest commandments. That's why these things are important and we can fight for them and we should fight for them. I will die for the right for free speech because I will not allow some big blob of some government agency bureaucracy to erase me as a human being. I would rather be dead . Let's face it, folks, if you can't express yourself of who you are, you might be breathing, but you're not living. So I'd rather not be either if that's the way it's going to be. That's what it means when people give their lives to defend, to uphold and defend the Constitution. That's what they're saying. I'd rather be dead than to lose my freedom because if I lose my freedom, I'm no longer me. I'm not living. What's the point? I might be breathing, but I'm not living the life that God created for me. And I was created in His image. My name and my words define me as a person. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says a good name is better than fine perfume. Sometimes I smell like it smelled in here this morning, depending on what I say. Hopefully sometimes I smell a little bit better. But when you think of me, when you hear my name, you get an image of me. And so much of that image that you have of me is by what I say. Things you've heard me say, interactions that we've had. I should be making an effort so that when you hear my name, it is like a fine perfume to you. It is a good name. And we should all be doing the same thing. I should be doing it because I have been created in God's image. And my image and what people would have of me, if they know that I'm a Christian, glorifies Him. It either glorifies Him or it diminishes Him when people hear my name. God does not want you erased by having your words shut down either. Think about it. Think if there's one thing you do when you leave here, I want you to think a few minutes about the fact that you are your words. If your words don't reflect who you are, then what are your words doing? Sometimes I say words that I regret. You know what that means? That means there's something in my heart that I regret being there. Because that's out of my heart that my mouth speaks. But unfortunately, because it's in my heart, that's a part of who I am. For good or bad, that's who I am. That's me. Hopefully, I'm in the process of diminishing those negative things that are in my heart and that come out of me. I'm not going to take back what I just said, tweeted about Nancy, because that's funny right there. I don't care who you are. At least I think it is. I'm not going to take that back. That's me. That's what's in my heart. I express it. And the same as you. Think about that. Think about why freedom of speech is so important. And we have a government, we have a president, and we have all of his henchmen who are trying to shut us up because we're saying, we don't like what you're doing to the country, and you're lying to me when you tell me that gas was $5 a gallon when you took office and you've lowered it down to $3.39. That's a lie! And I should be allowed to say, that's a lie! It's a lie when you tell me that you reduced the debt by half. No, the debt's still $31 trillion, people. It's not 15.5. That's what he said. We are now spending more to service in interest on our debt than we pay every year for our military. Think about that. It's insane. And because this is a government and a nation of, by, and for the people, I have the right to say, that's insane. I don't want my government spending more in interest on our debt, spending money that we don't have because you can't control yourself and you're too busy enriching yourself and buying votes than we spend on our military to keep all of us safe and free. I have a very strong desire to make physical gestures when I think about these kind of things, but I will restrain myself. And those of us who did serve, we didn't serve to have this. We didn't serve so that our freedom was taken away, so that I am not even allowed to speak what's on my mind. I shall not be silenced. We can never, ever give that up. It is not a negotiable. So all those who are veterans, have been, who are veterans, and those who will be veterans in the future, this is what it is that we do. This is why we do it. Because our freedom is of utmost importance. God made us. It is a foundational principle of creation. In the garden, God gave man freedom, so that he could freely choose to love God or reject God. Because the greatest commandment is to love God and one another. The only way we can fulfill God's greatest commandment to us is to be free. So my words are me. When you hear my name, you undoubtedly can come up with some negative thoughts, but hopefully you'll come up with some good ones. I know this about my name above all else in closing, and I'll just put this out there. When you think about your name being you, and a good name is to be desired above gold and silver, Luke 10:20 says, "However, I do not rejoice because the spirits submit to me, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's the most important thing about your name. Your name is you, and your words are you. We want to live lives so that our names are written in heaven, so that our names are written in the book of life. God knows your name. He knows your opinions. He knows what you think. He knows who you were created to be and how well you're living that out. He knows what comes out of your mouth and what other people think of your name when they hear it. He knows it all. We want to work towards our names being written in the book of life, because when God hears or thinks of our name, he sees Jesus. I'm glad that Galatians also not only says I'm free so I can be free, it says I'm clothed with Christ. I don't want God to see me, I want him to see Jesus. So my name is written in the book of life. Make sure that you're putting God in your heart so that it is God that comes out when you speak. Because that's who we are. And make sure that he knows your name. But the only way we can do that is to be free. And I've purposed a long time ago that I'm going to use my freedom the way God intended. God put me in this world to fulfill a purpose. I cannot fulfill the purpose that God put me in this world for if I'm silent. God gave me the freedom to speak, to be known, so that you know me, because my words are me. That's the way God designed it. And because of that, I shall not be silenced.